Thank you, Unity Walnut Creek. I was here for the earlier service, so I'm already, as my mother used to say, beside myself. I always wondered what that meant. Is there another me? There is, over here. But it's like I'm out of myself and slightly out of my body, so the energy here is really high, and it's a gift to me to be here because I'm home. I have been with Unity a long time, and usually when I'm speaking, it's not for an audience that has this incredible warm energy that I can feel from all of you. So I'll tell you a little bit about how I came to Unity, because I know everyone that finds Unity has a story, right? Probably a bit like my story. So mine started, I was a student at University of Washington. I was doing pre-med, and I was in my last bit of doing pre-med. At the same time, I was doing a PhD in psychology. Actually, I wasn't in psych at the time, I take it back. I was in a field called psychophysics. Now, psychophysics is a weird field because it's physics and it's research psych, which has nothing to do with psychology as we typically think of it as a healing art. I was not interested in healing arts because that would have required me to be with my feelings. I only wanted to be in my head because it felt safer to me, which meant, you know the recipe, if you're in your head and ignoring your feelings, you're depressed. And I was about as depressed a person as you ever wanted to meet. I didn't know I was depressed. I just knew I felt awful, and I felt like I had a heavy weight on me. Everything felt hard. I would drag myself through every day. And I thought I was invisible. I was dissociating, but I didn't know it. I would walk down the street. If somebody said, hi, I'd go, they can see me. Oh my God, they can see me. I'm not invisible. I was in bad shape, very bad shape. And the really wonderful part of this is that I was working in a monkey lab down in the basement under the medical school, studying how prematurely born macaque monkeys learned to see or hear. And it was perfect. It was a perfect place for me. Dark, stinky, cold, didn't have to deal with people. I had monkeys. They didn't talk back. And they didn't ask me how I was feeling, which was really good. So going through all of this, the inevitable happened. I crashed and burned. I stayed up all night to study. I think I had an organic chemistry exam, and I was finishing my first year paper for my doctorate. I was doing all this stuff, and I had this episode of my heart racing, and I thought, oh my God, I'm having a heart attack. I'm 22 years old, and I'm having a heart attack. I'm going to die. So I called a friend who was upstairs in student housing. She came and got me, took me to the student health center, where I met Dr. Rebecca Wells, who was this tiny doctor, and Dr. Wells, whom I will always remember, said to me after she examined me, she said, there's nothing wrong with you medically. In fact, you know, I was a big-time athlete out there jogging, which was one way I noticed I felt a little bit better if I kept that up. She said, you're really physically healthy. What do you think is going on? Well, I had figured it out. I knew the symptoms of a massive anxiety attack, and I knew I was having one. I said, anxiety attack. She said, why do you think you're having it? I said, well, I'm working my way through school. I'm doing a doctorate in this psychophysics program, doing my research, and I'm getting ready for medical school, and I just broke up with my boyfriend. She said, that's not why you're having the attack. I thought, well, she said, the problem is you have all of that going on, but you're sitting here looking as cool as a cucumber. And I was. I looked great. I was a professional model at the time and an actor. That's where my TV career was taking off. And I was doing all this stuff because it paid more money than waiting tables, which is what I did when I couldn't get the other work. And I had learned to look good while feeling bad. Anybody recognize that? I'm the only one who's ever been a victim of looking good while feeling bad. So when somebody says to you, how are you? Most of us go, fine. Right? Most of us don't say, actually, I am hurting today. Or I feel sad today. Or I feel something today. We usually feel compelled to keep up a front. Now, that's okay, I guess, says she who was so depressed because I was doing it. But think about this. If you're in a relationship and you've made a habit of being inauthentic, you've made a habit of keeping the feelings under wraps, you've made a habit of hiding the wounds because our culture definitely says, don't feel. The third book, you mentioned the four books. My third book is called Power Choices, and it was a book that we created for a national PBS pledge special that I wrote and produced and hosted. I was pretty proud of that. And the book is about making the choice to unlock our power. Well, what's our greatest power as human beings? Everybody do this. It's the power of our hearts. It's the power of what?
Our hearts.
Our hearts. Now notice I didn't say my heart. I said our hearts. Why? Why do I say our hearts? Keep tapping. There's a reason you're tapping. In 60 seconds, you will have stimulated the thymus gland. The scientist is here, okay? You will stimulate the thymus gland, which is right under your sternum. And the thymus gland is a teensy-weensy little gland that releases a hormone that controls your heartbeat. And as you are tapping, you are releasing that thymus hormone that not only makes the heart slow down just a little bit, but it makes the heart even more aware. Now, you all know this is a brain, right?
Yeah.
It's a brain. Grandma knew it when she said, trust your heart, follow your heart, listen to your heart. Your heart knows, right? We've all heard those things. We've all heard and felt heartache. Heartbreak. The heart has sensory capacity. This became clear when heart transplant surgeries first came into being, and people who'd never met someone were looking for someone they didn't know, longing for someone. They started hating food they used to love, loving food they used to hate, and doctors went, now how could that happen with a heart transplant? Maybe it's more than a pump pumping blood. But we all knew it. The ancients have talked about it for time immemorial, right? So in unity, the thing that is so wonderful is that we are all about opening the heart. So I go back to Dr. Rebecca Wells, and Dr. Wells wrote a prescription for me after she told me there's nothing medically wrong. I thought, well, he's giving me medication, must be for the depression. She didn't write a prescription for me. She wrote the name and phone number of a therapist who was upstairs at the Student Health Center, Dr. Wilbur Bentz. I ran right upstairs to see Dr. Bentz, where I sat in that office week after week for my hour, and every week at the end of the session, he would look at me and say, well, I see you're still depressed. Same time next week? And after about a year of that, I started to feel better. I actually didn't feel that deep, draggy heaviness, something about the process. And all I did was sit there and talk. This is old-fashioned talk therapy, just talk, talk, talk. I felt better. And then I graduated to another therapist, Solveig Thompson, who was this huge, tall Norwegian woman who was a top-seeded tennis player. And she'd come into the sessions like this, like she was going to take a serve. She was great. Because she blasted me to the next level and got me to begin to unlock what was really causing the pain. So what I've learned about myself is that therapy helped me. I got through school. I got back to San Francisco, which is my hometown, to do my internship. And wham, the depression came back. And it was just as bad as before. Now, I hadn't found a therapist. And a friend of mine said to me, you know what I think you need? I think you need to find the Unity Church. Psh, the Unity Church, I'm going to church. Church to me was the church I grew up in. Hellfire, brimstone, sin, and damnation. I wasn't going back to church again. I'd made that decision. And as far as I knew, Unity was going to be the same crock of damnation. So I avoided anything. So I'm out jogging one day, doing my little routine, feeling miserable, and I look up, and there's the Unity Church. right there. And I passed that spot, I don't know how many times, but something made me look up. I said, oh, that's that church. I was desperate. So I jogged right into the church in my sweaty jogging clothes and sat down. It was a noon meditation at the Unity Church. Swamin Elizabeth was leading the meditation. And when it was over, she looked right at me and said, dear, when you walked in, so much resentment and anger came into the church. And I was like, she's calling me out. It's like, oh my God, you mean you could... I felt it. I didn't think anybody else could feel it. So that was really it. Unity came into my life in a big way because Elizabeth basically went smack, smack, smack. And she taught me about meditation. She taught me, she was 88 years old when I met her, taught me about meditation, taught me that blessing a situation and blessing someone was more powerful than... that I used to do, chewing on the resentment. Now, I know you don't know anything about that, but I was deep into it. So that's how unity came into my life. And these spiritual principles were a key that once I turned this key, the therapy definitely helped. Definitely was important. That unity gave me something therapy didn't give me, which was a belief. Oh, that I wasn't alone, that there was something that connected all of us, and it wasn't going to damn me and burn me in hell, that it was loving and powerful, and it was real. And I knew it because Elizabeth gave me an experiment to do. One big source of my resentment was my boss, who apparently couldn't stand me, and I couldn't stand him. And I would go to work every day. And so she said to me, dear, I want you to bless him. I was like, bless him? She said, yes, bless the air he breathes, the clothes he wears, bless everything he says and everything he does on your way to work. I thought, okay, so I'd walk to work. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. And I'd think of everything. God bless the air you breathe, the clothes you wear, God bless you, God bless you. And within, I'm not kidding, within 2 weeks, who felt better? I did. I felt lighter, happier. I said, well, something's working. I kept it up. And then he, this is big, he changed toward me. Make a note. He changed toward me. And I was so, ta-da, like this. I mean, my energy was up just through the roof, so much so that one of my colleagues came up. She said, Brenda, I notice you've been very bubbly lately. I said, yeah, I have been. She said, you're just so happy. I said, yeah, I am. She said, perhaps a little manic? I said, no, I don't feel manic. I just feel really great. She said, well, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. She said, are you taking drugs? I couldn't resist. I said, no, I found God. Now, I was talking to a psychologist, right? And she's looking at me like, uh-oh. Said no. So then I explained unity. I invited her to come to church with me, to which she went, mm-mm. Sounds like some kind of cult. I said, it's the good kind of cult. Nobody tells you what to do. You just show up and everybody's welcome. It's a good thing. So unity transformed that job, that whole... Now, here's something I have to tell you guys. This, the footnote to that story was 6 weeks after I started the blessing campaign. My phone rang. I was offered my dream job. I had not applied for the job. I had not asked, but when I was done learning the lesson that I was there to learn, which was to get my butt in one of these chairs and get connected, all of a sudden, the phone starts ringing. Wait, wait, there's more. Then I got my first national television show, which was Can This Marriage Be Saved? I was hosting the show with Ladies Home Journal, those of you who know Ladies Home Journal. It existed for like 130 years before they closed it up and it went to online. So all these things started unfolding. Now, what had happened to me that made all that happen? Do this again. What had I learned to do?
Go into your heart.
Open my heart and connect it to all the other hearts. Now, in relationship, we're going to talk about sacred relationship. What makes it sacred? What makes it sacred? Being able to open our hearts. Now, most of us get in relationships and it looks like this. I need a volunteer. Sir, would you volunteer, please, to come on up? Thank you. This is how I get my volunteers. Do you mind? Yes, I'm talking to you. Come on up here. Blue shirt. What's your name?
Steve.
Steve. Okay, Steve, thank you for volunteering. So most of us get in relationships like this. I have the old closed heart syndrome that I used to have. Everything's bottled up inside me. So I meet Steve. I want to be in a relationship with Steve. I really love Steve. But this is happening, and this is happening, this is happening. So I, hi, Steve, how are you? I want you to get close to me, but not too close. In fact, I'm going to show you, okay, there are ways that we keep people away. There are ways we shut people down in our communication style. A favorite is this one. It's your fault, Steve. If you would change, I would be happier. And then you see this? Now try to get close to me. That is as close as you will ever get. Because the minute we use blaming as a defense, and all we're doing is protecting the part of us that was hurt. And when did the hurt occur? When we were 8 years old or younger. Because the brain cannot do deductive reasoning until after age 13, and the cortex doesn't start growing that allows us to do until the age of 8. So everything that goes into the brain prior to the age of 8, if we can see it, hear it, touch it, taste it, or smell it prior to the age of 8, boom, it forms a pattern in the brain. So prior to the age of 8, most of us had an experience of pain, did we not? How many people here had an experience of pain prior to the age of 8? Can you remember what it was? Right? Is it okay if we take a minute and clear it? Would you be all right with that? And Steve, thank you very much, and I apologize for this blaming. You're a lovely person. Give Steve a hand, please. Right, now, take a moment and go back. You've already awakened your heart. You've been tapping. And I'm going to ask you to go back to whatever it was prior to the age of 8 that caused the pain. Take a deep breath. For me, my depression was caused by, prior to the age of 8, a lot of harshness in my family because my parents were traumatized. But an 8-year-old and younger child can't say, perhaps my parents are suffering from intergenerational trauma. Perhaps my mother is feeling depressed or anxious. What does the child say when mother is upset or angry and yells at the child or hits the child? What does the child say? Something's wrong with me. Okay, so what happened to you prior to the age of 8? Just be with it for a moment, and I'm going to give you a way to clear it really fast. Take a deep breath. Deep breath. And we've already invoked the I am. We've already meditated and prayed together. The light and energy is here to heal. Trust me, it's here. You can feel it. We all can. All the music, everything that we've heard, was part of our healing because it brought more love into the space. So in this moment, turn toward that child who's hurting. And I want you to tell that child, you are with me. You are 100% lovable. You are 100% lovable. You are 100% lovable. I didn't say partway lovable. 100%. 100%. Take it in deeply. See that little hurt, younger version of yourself, angry, hurt, sad, alone, feeling abandoned, whatever it was. Life is happening for us, not to us. And even that hurt, that wound, was part of bringing us here, bringing us to unity so we could connect with that light, with that energy that is necessary to be healthy, to be whole, is necessary to bring to us all the possibilities that we're here to live. Feel it. Know that this is so. And now turn this experience that was hurtful completely around and say, I am 100% grateful for this pain. I am 100% grateful for this pain. I am 100% grateful for this pain. It brought me here. It brought me here. Now, in a relationship, turning that around means instead of pushing the other person away, and we'll get to work deeply on that in the afternoon workshop. Those of you who are able to stay will learn how to transform the dysfunctional patterns that create distance and bring the sacred in. Now, what is the sacred in a relationship? What is the sacred? Love, spirit,
open heart.
You guys are hot. You're hot. It's all of that. Because all of that, what you just said, describes what? Oneness. Oneness, that we are one. And that is the magic of unity. That's what healed me. I know it's healing all of you. That we're not alone. We're one. That's what uni means, one. Unity. We're all part of the one. So I'm going to ask you to just up your game a little bit. Now watch this. Do this. Do that. Make a chain link fence with your fingers. We're connecting the right and left lobes of the brain now so that the lobes are coordinated, which means the brain is now going to grab this pattern. I'm going to give you a little pattern. All right. And we're going to need a little oomph. Give me some to the drummer. All right. Goes like this. I am 100% lovable. I am 100% lovable. I am 100% lovable. Turn to the person next to you. You are 100% lovable. You are 100% lovable. You are 100% lovable. Now, here we go. We are 100% lovable. We are 100% lovable. We are 100% lovable. Now your brain will remember that because the brain likes patterns. We just gave it a little tun, 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 tun. It's going to remember that. When you go to sleep tonight, I am 100% lovable. You are 100% lovable. And we are. Now the we is very important. I'm going to ask you to stand up for a minute. We're going to do some work. All right, now I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to challenge you. Do you believe this unity principle that we are one? How many believe it?
Yes.
Say, I believe it.
I believe it.
All right, now let's stand on it. I want you to think of situations in the world today where we can say, you are 100% lovable. Do you dare do it?
Yes.
All right, here we go. ISIS. You are 100% lovable. Putin, you are 100% lovable. Everybody in Syria, you are 100% lovable. What else?
Donald Trump.
You are 100% lovable.
Obama.
President Obama, you are 100% lovable. What else do we need?
Israel.
You are 100% lovable.
NFL.
You are 100% lovable. What else?
Congress.
You are 100% lovable. Palestine. You are 100% lovable. Whole world. You are 100% lovable. Mother Earth. You are 100% lovable. You feel it? I challenge you, please bring this spirit of oneness and love to everything. One of my spiritual teachers used to sit in front of the television every night This was her special task. And every situation on the nightly news, you know, all the everything that goes on the nightly news, every night she'd say, God bless you, I love you. God bless you, I love you. Even more powerful, we get the brain working for us, the body working for us, and know that we're part of the whole. Every one of us is a light. Every one of us is a light. And as we join these lights together, and together we say, we are 100% lovable. Now there's power that can heal anything. Thank you so much, Unity Walnut Creek.